Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He is Blank, I am Branham, it is Brian behind the glass, and it's a Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Busy show today. Coach speak as we get closer and closer to some Saturday football. Texans Invitational, wild card round, play on Saturday. Everybody's got some thoughts, especially the coaches, how much of it is real. Who realistically has a shot to win it all this year in the NFL? 14 teams in the playoffs. Who really has a chance to win it all? And then also, where do C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans, where do they rank relative to their position versus the rest of this playoff as well? Also, it's Bad Take Boulevard because it is a Thursday, and we'll be joined by Shannon Farron, a Chargers sideline reporter, host of Gary and Shannon on KFIA AM 640. I'm assuming that's in Los Angeles. I'm assuming she's safe.
It is. It's Los Angeles.
I'll ask her about that before we talk about football. But Texans aren't getting much love. We've seen this. Really, it started Sunday. Like, we had the Rex Ryan stuff. We'll get into that a little bit. And we've heard from a lot of different people. You know, they don't have a chance to win. This is why they're bad. D'Amico has addressed it because he was asked about it in his press conferences. Joe Mixon was asked about Rex Ryan's comments. Mixon's like, yeah, I'm just going to put on my helmet and shoulder pads and go play football. And I see fans get upset, too, that, like, these talking heads aren't picking them to win, or they're just, you know, dismissing the Texans, or it's, hey, 75% of the people are picking the Chargers. I don't really care. I really don't know why people care so much. Like, they're getting mad, these Texans fans.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the whole fanatical part of being a fan is, you know, they hate any disrespect for their team. I mean, if you're a neutral party and you're anywhere else in the country and you're looking at this game, the Chargers have been playing good football, and the Texans haven't. And so it's easy to see why most everybody is picking the Chargers. From a player's perspective, I'm going to tell you honestly, no matter what they're saying and no matter what is being talked about with the media, there is bulletin board material. And in particular, one of the quotes that we have is plastered in a lot of places around the facility, maybe not in clear view for the media, but I was told that They do have at least one quote that they've seen. But at the end of the day, if you're not motivated to play playoff football, I mean, that the locker room, I think, is fine. The players, I mean, the fans' perspective, it's just all about being fanatical and you know, being defensive and not wanting anybody to ever think negatively or less than of your football team.
What do you think of as a fan, though? Like, does it irritate you whenever your team is getting dissed?
I think if they're not accurate. I think that if it's just like you're a casual or you're a national talking head, but you haven't spent the time to really watch the team enough, and then what you say isn't the reality of what's been. I think that in the past is, and of course, obviously working, when I worked for a team, I was hyper defensive of people saying things about my team, especially if I thought that it was wrong. But, you know, I think that as you get away from it and you don't have that direct connection like that, yeah, it changes.
Yeah, I just, maybe I like to, you know, I do like to argue. We all know that. And maybe I might get into, like, a conversation about, like, why things might happen differently. But I couldn't care less that Rex Ryan is disrespecting the Texans. That does not resonate with me at all. At all. And people are, like, mad about it. So what? Like, you're going to, like, the Texans have an opportunity to place Rex Ryan on Bad Take Boulevard next Thursday. Like, it hasn't happened. Nothing he says is real. Like, it's his opinion. And he's an expert, and he was a former NFL head coach. So he probably carries more weight than, like, you know, Brian, just throwing out a random name. But at the end of the day, who cares? All that matters is what happens from the moment the ball is kicked off until that final horn.
Now, would you change your opinion if it wasn't the Texans, if it was the Cougs?
No. I couldn't care less what people say.
Because I thought in the past, and I think it was more so of you correcting, again, kind of like what I was saying, if someone made a statement that was less than flattering to the Cougs, but it was more statistically driven, I thought that you would be quick to correct
that. I would correct, sure. But, does it make me mad? Absolutely not. Do I think they're uneducated and uninformed? Sure. But do I get upset by it? No.
Yeah,
no.
I used to be that person, but I've grown out of it. Because the way I look at it, so Rex Ryan says the Texans are a bye week. Okay, what's my recourse against Rex Ryan? Am I going to call him up? Am I going to change his opinion? Or some random on Twitter says something stupid? Am I going to change his opinion? I think, and this is really coming from the age of Twitter, I've just come to a place where when people are crazy, you're not going to convince them otherwise. So you're wasting your time and your energy and your effort to try to tell someone the sky isn't blue. So just move on.
I'm with you in the fact that instead of dad strength like we talked about yesterday, maybe it's fan strength. Because I think that over the years, I've gotten away from it too. And I think that it was with different teams for different reasons. But I think it was more just the how ludicrous it was when someone was saying something that wasn't true to drive a narrative that then, because of that being the driving force, kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I don't want to tell fans how to fan. If you want to get mad, I'm not telling you don't get mad. It's just something that caught my attention that's kind of weird to me. You don't like to argue, Branham. You just like the sound of your own voice at the dismay of everyone else within radio signal of you. I don't like the sound of my voice.
I don't either.
Any team without – you don't like the sound of my voice?
Or yours. Yeah, I don't like
mine. It's the same thing.
I think Brian and I have talked about the fact in the past, but I don't like my – I don't even like to hear
– No, say – I think that's
common, though.
I love your voice
though. For what it's worth.
I hate it.
I think it sounds very pretty.
It doesn't.
I think that's common.
It's pretty. Lakers has a pretty voice, right? Pretty voice.
I mean, yeah. Sure. His voice is fine.
I might just fail.
I used to hate even listening. You have to redo your voicemails and stuff, and you want to listen to it.
Yeah, when I would have to go record something with Michael, I hate it. I loathe it. And Michael's a great guy, but I hate having to perform on the spot and then listen back to my voice and then critique it, because the whole time I'm saying this is terrible.
Michael Carroll, number one on the Joe George nicest people at the radio station power rankings.
I would agree with
Mapes
that.
Mapes is two, Gallant is three.
Disagree with...
It sounds like nepotism.
Michael Carroll, number one, yes.
Which, by the way, has Joe paid your bet? I hadn't paid mine either. No. Just checking. Any team without Laramie Tunsil and booty cheeks talk shows like yours has a chance to win. So the Texans don't have a chance to win is what the texter is saying. Here's some of the talking heads that have been talking about this game. Here was Matt Hasselbeck on Colin Cowherd, which Colin Cowherd might be the only decent person at FS1.
Quite possible.
Not giving the Texans much of a chance to win.
They're not a team ascending. I think the Chargers defense is way better than people realize. They're a team to reckon with, probably in the second round of the playoffs. I don't know if the Texans can protect CJ Stroud the way they need to.
Okay. I think that's fair.
I think it's pretty real talk.
That's
right
a fair assessment. Sure. I don't think he's taking shots or he's like, oh, they have no chance to win. I feel like that was fair. Here's the other Hasselbeck, Tim Hasselbeck, pretty much calling the Texans soft boys.
Stroud has just been... They haven't protected him. They've done a good job keeping him upright. And when you look at the Chargers, you got a good defense, and they put pressure on the quarterback, and they'll hit you. And I think that's really what it will end up coming down to in that matchup. I just think when you look at, what the expectations were for Houston, how they've played, they obviously rested guys today, but it just hasn't felt like the same momentum that you would think that they would be heading into the postseason with. And I think when you look at the Chargers, I think it's just going to be a physical brand of football that might be a little much for Houston.
I feel like that isn't the best assessment. And he's basically calling them soft there. I wouldn't call the Texans soft, especially because their best side of the ball is defensively. And look, they'll punish you. They'll hit you hard. Will Anderson's not going to bow down from anybody. Same thing with Danielle Hunter. We know Azeez Al-Shaair has a reputation. Christian Harris will lay the lumber a little bit. I don't agree with the Texans being soft that Tim Hasselbeck kind of alludes to here.
No, I agree with you. I think that, when you look at what the defense has done all year and, fought their way through the injuries throughout the process, we talked about pressures. We talked about what the edge can do. We saw what the defensive line can do. I don't know that a hit like Azeez is ever going to be considered, whether it was legal or not. I think that's not the sign of a team that's soft. That's a team that's actually, whether they're headhunting or not, they're aggressive. And I think that we've seen a lot of aggressive play to where I think that's insulting. I think from an offensive perspective, I don't know that they're soft anywhere across the board. Are they less than because of the way the offensive line has played? Sure, but that's not soft.
No, I wouldn't call them soft. Like, you could sit here and say all day that they're not going to win. And they're not. Look, they're underdogs. Like, saying the Chargers are going to beat the Texans is chalk.
Yeah, that's a chalk criticize pick. Where their shortcomings are, where they haven't played well, and maybe even the individuals who haven't played well. But I don't think soft is a label that fits.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't think it's a label that fits. And then finally, the one that made the rounds, that they got everybody's attention, was Rex Ryan, who probably will not be the head coach of the New York Jets.
Chargers wind up the 5 seed. They're going to Houston. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I never realized the Chargers got a bye. They qualified for a bye. But they did, because they're playing Houston.
Greeny thought that was way too funny, by the way. He laughed a lot.
People wanted, and even on the New York papers, suggesting Greeny be the next GM of the Jets.
No chance.
Just absolutely
are they
stupidity.
Being for real?
Well, there was a front page. It was the back page, right? The back page full picture for Greeny, because
you know
it started to take. There's that's exactly what the internet, that's what Twitter is right now, and like the blogs and things. It's come to the point where they can take something that is as fictional as that and think that there's some legs to that. There's more legs to a Lewis Riddick who interviewed for the Jets job today, but Mike Greenberg, shut up.
For thinking it through for about 30 seconds, I would love to see it. I would love Mike Greenberg to be the general manager.
Miserably, it'd be fun to watch. It'd be a great car wreck.
There you go. Yeah. That's why I want to see it.
The drama would be fantastic.
Like, Mike Mayock went from TV to being a general manager, but he was a football guy.
Right.
Like, he was through and through a football guy first that went to TV and then was hired from TV to be a general manager. Like, the Houston comparison would be Larry Durker. Like, Larry Durker was a baseball guy, was doing TV. Yeah. They hired him to be the manager. That's kind of the same thing with Mike Mayock. Greenberg being a general manager of a football team would be awesome. I would love it.
You mean you don't think that ex-players that are Hall of Famers would make good general manager candidates, even in like baseball?
I mean, that happens though.
I'm saying Reggie and Bagwell.
Yeah.
But I was joking with Lance.
I love the Killer Bees. I'm 97.
Thanks, Baggy. I was joking with Lance after Mayock had gotten that job. I go, you got to be interviewing for the next Texans GM opening happens. I mean, you've got to be in the running because Mayock got the job.
I think Lance could be an asset to a front office.
Not the general manager, but absolutely.
Yeah, and then maybe like if he's in like, you know, he's been in the front office for, you know, 10, 15 years to be an eventual general manager.
I mean, look at guys like Alonzo Highsmith that were ex-players but worked their way up and now has a very prominent position with the Patriots where you go, you know what, that's the way you do it.
No, I think Lance could be an asset, legitimately. Maybe better than Chris Ballard, his dear friend.
That's right. It is his buddy. Yeah.
Maybe. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We're cool, man. That is the face of your franchise. You lost McAfee. Manning's now in Denver. The face of your franchise is that nerd.
Go Colts!
That's the face of the Indianapolis Colts. D'Amico Ryan's response to all these people hating on the Texans, your responses as well, they're whipping through the text line. 713-780-ESPN, busy show. We'll talk to Shannon Farron at 3:30. Nice of her to make time for measly old us in the middle of a historic fire. Where do the teams in the NFL playoffs stack up in their chances of winning it? And also Bad Take Boulevard coming up later as well. 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on the Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Brandon. We are the Beast. ESPN975, ESPN925.
ESPN975. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Having a fight with gravity here and I'm losing. Blankers, Branham, Killer Bees, 713-780-ESPN. So the Texans aren't getting much love. Your reaction to all of this? Some fans are ticked off. Some fans are saying that those fans are overreacting. This is the stuff that happens in the week before a playoff game. But here was Rex Ryan again. I think this was probably the most critical of the Houston Texans.
Chargers wind up the 5 seed. They're going to Houston. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I never realized the Chargers got a bye, that they qualified for a bye. But they did, because they're playing Houston.
There you go. Mike Greenberg laughing a lot. He said that someone on the text line said there's a different Mike Greenberg who works for the Tampa Bay Bucks front office that New York is supposed to be interested in.
It's not the mug that was on the papers in New York.
Did you get deked?
No, there was a picture. They showed the actual picture of Greeny.
Did they?
Yeah. And it might have been the Post who always takes fun and pokes fun at teams.
So this no chance you got deked?
I mean, it's always a chance.
But you saw a picture of him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the headline. And I forget what the headline was, but it was talking about Greenberg being the choice, should be the choice or considered.
It wasn't that guy? It wasn't. I mean, no. That guy looks a little bit like Greeny.
I mean, he is somewhat looks like him, but it wasn't him.
Like,
I either got deked or.
They could be cousins. Not brothers, but they could be cousins. This is Mike Greenberg and the real Mike Greenberg.
Maybe.
Right? Like, yeah. Cousins. Yeah, not brothers. They don't look close enough to be brothers, but they look close enough to be cousins.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Maybe not like cousins in, like, you know, Kentucky, but like cousins anywhere else.
You mean like Boogie?
No.
Oh, because Boogie went to Kentucky.
Not what I meant.
Okay.
Not what I meant. Anyways, here was D'Amico Ryans. He was asked about the criticism. Actually, he was asked directly about the comments of Rex Ryan, and here's what D'Amico Ryans had to say.
Yeah, for us, I don't think, you know, it doesn't matter. If anybody gives us a shot, it really doesn't matter to me. At the end of the day, when the ball is kicked off, it's who's the best football team right on Saturday. And that's where our focus is, on playing really good football. Everybody have an opinion about us one way or the other, but outside opinion really doesn't drive what we do here internally. Like, our guys put the work in. They know what we're about. We know what we're about. So it really doesn't matter to me on all the outside noise.
They're about it. That's how you should answer it. Like, he answered it.
Yeah, he did.
Perfectly.
He answered it the right way. Now, what I was alluding to in the first segment is someone told me that has people in the building that behind the scenes that quote is posted up quite a bit.
What teams, coaches, players tell you publicly is almost never what's happening privately.
Right.
There are so many times, we don't worry about that stuff. And then the quote is literally in the locker room.
Yep.
In every single locker room.
Yeah, I've seen it all the time.
Yeah. So, like, what they say publicly isn't always, and very seldom, is what is going on privately. But he answered it publicly the correct way. And then the final one on D'Amico about bulletin board material.
For me, it's something like that. What does it do? Does it make you play harder because somebody said that? Does it change? Like, we play hard anyway. Like, we're going to bring our style of football, our brand of football, on Saturday, regardless or irregardless of what anyone's talking head's opinion is about us, right? So it really doesn't drive or doesn't change our approach one bit.
I really wanted to play that because this is, like, the mindset I have. Like, if you're a player that needs this quote to get you up for a playoff game at home, then you're probably in the wrong business.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what I was talking to, saying to you in the first segment. Like, if you're a player and you think of something like Mario Edwards, in his longer-than-most career, he's only been to – this is the second time he's been to the playoffs. I mean, you know he's got to be completely jacked up and ready to play. I mean, this is what you play for, the opportunity to win that trophy and get to the postseason with a chance to do big things. This has nothing to do with the players in the locker room. If you need this to do that, then you're right. You're in the wrong profession.
Yeah. So that's what D'Amico had to say about that. Lamont on Twitter, when I hear Rex Ryan's clowning the Texans, I think it's more about the coaching matchup of D'Amico versus Harbaugh, because the teams on paper, Texans is clearly better than them. Ultimately, Rex feats Ryan means nothing to me.
I don't think it's about the coaches at all.
I think that Rex Ryans could think that Harbaugh has the coaching matchup advantage.
Sure, that's one thing. But to say it, like, I don't think that there's that big of a divide between the two to say that that's the reasons behind making the comment. I think making the comment is driven by the fact that you've gotten your doors blown off on Christmas by the Ravens. You haven't looked good in the final month or so of the season. And the Chargers continue to play solid football to where if you just are watching both teams, you can say that one's going in the right direction and the Texans haven't been.
Eliminating the coaching staffs and going just roster, how do you think they stack up, those two teams?
I think that, you know, and we were discussing, now if I put it on my whiteboard all the time and going back and forth, I think the Chargers come out ahead.
Yeah, I think it's about even.
I think if we just did position group by position group, I think that, you know, there might be some washes, and then there might be some where they're close, and then I think that, like, their offensive line is way better than the Texans' offensive line.
Which coaching staff do you think is better?
I think I think Harbaugh's staff is probably better because of the experience.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the coaching staff advantage for the Chargers is greater than the roster advantage if they have one. I think the roster is about a wash, and I think the Charger coaching staff's a bit better.
I think their roster is going to have an advantage. I think the coaching staff, they probably have an advantage. I don't think it's that great, but I think it's obviously there with what Harbaugh's done.
Yeah, I mean, there's no right answer. It's all opinion, right? The correct way to fan is just to take note and say nothing before the game and absolutely kill the guy if we win. That's a perfect point. That's why I have one of my bookmarks on Twitter is bad takes, and I have a lot of ones saved up just in case they happen in the future. Just in case they happen.
All takes exposed exist. I know. That's the way you handle it.
I like how freezing cold takes will they'll comment on something. Take note. Yeah, I just want everybody to know that I've seen this. Like, not saying it's a cold take yet.
Have you guys ever got outed?
Seen it. I don't think I have.
By old takes exposed, freezing cold takes.
Oh, no, I have not.
I think I got by some aggregator, but I don't think it was that. I can't remember.
They've gotten me twice.
They've gotten you?
Twice.
Wow. Yeah.
There's been a few local guys that have made it.
I don't know who outed me. I can't imagine they stumbled upon my account. So I don't know who outed me for it, but yeah, they've gotten me twice.
Huh? What were the takes?
One was Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to be a great NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. Not ideal.
Yeah, not
and
good.
Then I also compared, and I think this is aging better as time goes by, but in 2018 it was not. But I compared Deshaun Watson to Geno Smith as a future bust.
Geno's probably better.
I know. Like I said, in 2018, it looked really bad. Now it actually looks fine.
Yeah, you aren't wrong on that one. You were just early.
I was just early, yeah.
Yeah. Vegas has too much on the Chargers winning. I got to play the Texans. I'm not a fan, but this seems like an upset. CJ going to run out of the pocket more. I don't know if I want him out of the pocket. Cody says, ask Trevor Lawrence if the Texans are soft. Yeah, he wouldn't think that the Texans are soft. If the fans getting mad at Rex and the national guys, it's the local radio guys with the delusional takes after all the injury, suspension, etc. The unreal expectations on CJ with everything he had to deal with and still won the division. Not sure that's really pertinent. They are giving Harbaugh the advantage because of his past success, not taking the Texans serious because of that. Hey, Harbaugh does have some pelts on the wall when it comes to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to beat up on the Texans, just trying to be realistic. They beat one team that had a winning record this year. They don't cover any spreads, and they can't score in the second half. Kind of hard to give faith in that. I think that's a fair point. Do you think the Texans run their ship very relaxed, go with the flow style? Huh.
I don't think it's a dictatorship. I don't think it's Mike McDaniel level relaxed. I think if I'm going to lean either way, I think it's more of a player's locker room.
Yeah, I think that it's probably more of a player's locker room, too. I think D'Amico, I don't know this, but I think D'Amico probably has few rules, but the few rules he has, you better abide by.
Yeah. You and I have had conversations throughout the year where I've questioned maybe how intently they went to handle things internally with penalties or mental mistakes or things like that with Tunsil and others, but we'll never know because we're not in the building.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try to do I don't like doing that. I don't like asking people secrets. Texture, what are the odds Chargers blow them out like the Ravens did? I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I have thought about how this Chargers team is basically Baltimore light and the Texans really struggle with Baltimore. Yeah. So that has been something I've thought about, but I just don't think that they have the juice to blow them out like the Ravens do.
I would tend to agree with you, and I think that as much as we know that Herbert's had a really good year and you know, this is the coaching staff that seems to have get the most out of him, I don't look at how prolific Baltimore's offense is. I don't look at the Chargers the same way. I think they're efficient. I think they can score points. I don't think they're on the same level as the Ravens. I think really honestly to me, this game's going to come down to the running game and if the Texans can run the football and then if they can stop the run. I think we know Herbert can pass the ball. I just think if the Texans can control the running game, I think they could be in a really good position.
I think if they score more points,
thanks, Clyde.
I really like their odds if they win the turnover battle.
I like Herbert, but he's not Lamar. Lamar's a different beast. I don't love their running backs. They're okay. They're not Derrick Henry.
Right.
You know, like I like Ladd McConkey a whole lot. Actually, he might be better than Zay. Ladd McConkey might be better than Zay, who, by the way, is ruled out for the wild card round. Hey, Branham, why don't you like it? Why do you always try to, you know, rest starters and not play them in meaningless games? That game was meaningful. But why do you always do that? Exhibit A, Your Honor, Zay Flowers, who will not play in the wild card round. That is why I like resting my starters with snaps that are not significant, not meaningful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, I think Johnston coming on this year has been huge for them. They shored up their offensive line with a high, you know, having a high draft pick that a lot of people thought they could have gone a different direction with. I think that the coaching staff has meant more than anything. I think they're just a really, really well-oiled machine right now, peaking at the right time.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Shannon Farron, Chargers sideline reporter, host of Gary and Shannon on KFI AM 640. She joins us next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what you need in your life? You need a goal from Pro Dunk. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. Best basketball goals on the planet. Way better than anything you'll get in the big box stores, too, by the way. A tempered glass backboard, breakaway rim, stainless steel hardware, height adjustable, it's rust proof. It's got all the high end quality that you want for a goal. You're driving through the neighborhood, maybe you exercise, maybe you jog and walk through the neighborhood, but you always see these cheap goals, the rims jacked up, the backboard's broken, sometimes they're not even upright anymore. Get a goal from Pro Dunk. If you're going to get one, do it right. Their new goal too, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, it's easy to do, it's fun to do. You can go from 5 to 10 feet in a matter of seconds. Also, their accessories, top notch. LED light kits for night play. Gets a little darker early now, so you want these LED light kits. Also, you're at work, kids are at school, can't play till the nighttime. Get LED light kits. That way you can play around the clock. Backstop nets, pull pad lettering, and lots, lots more. You can order all of this, including installation online. You know, it's annoying whenever you order something and they deliver a big box that's not assembled to your driveway. There's a million pieces, and it's daunting. It's overwhelming. You don't want to do it. Well, you don't have to with Pro Dunk. Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal, perfect height, perfectly straight. They're going to knock it out of the park. You don't have to do anything. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do that work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line. Shannon Farron joining us, Chargers sideline reporter, host of Gary and Shannon on KFI AM 640. Shannon, thanks for taking a few minutes hanging out with us. First and foremost, I've been glued to the TV and the news coverage on the fires out in L.A. We'll talk football in a moment. But how is everything going there for you? I assume that it's going okay if you have the time for us. But how tragic is this? Just how scary is it with your feet on the ground there?
Oh, it's super scary. The first fire that took off near the ocean, probably the one that you guys have seen the most, because it's such a picturesque community there at Pacific Palisades. That one took off right away Tuesday morning at a rate of speed of 2 to 3 football fields per minute. The firefighters, which are the best in the land here in LA County, actually had no chance to stop this thing as it just crumbled through homes, crumbling neighborhoods, just eating up thousands of homes there. And then we had one on the other side of the county. That's where I live. I was evacuated Tuesday night, and it was insane leaving the house. I mean, driving through the roads just on the surface streets to get to the freeway to go south. And there were just, you know, trees that had completely covered the road. Luckily, I have a truck, so I was able to get over them. But it has been insanity. And then last night, the Hollywood Hills start to burn. So we are used to wildfires. We are not used to this kind of an event. It's a generational wind event. Generational loss in terms of fires, and our firefighters really have just been completely depleted, and so prayers up for all those guys and women on the front lines. They've got to be exhausted.
Well, and this carries over to the football team too, right? Because we've heard what the wide receiver coach was affected, and I'm sure that as you guys get ready to get out of town, there's a lot of people with a lot more on their mind than just football.
Absolutely. Jim Harbaugh's daughter, Grace, was evacuated last night from that Hollywood Hills fire. She is staying with them now, safe and sound. But there's not anybody who hasn't been touched by these fires just because they're so vast and they cover so much of Los Angeles. Everyone knows someone who's been affected. So definitely on the minds of these guys. But you know what? It's playoff football. It is time to focus and lock in on Houston, and that has been really the focus at this facility here this week.
Shannon Farron joining us on the HR&B guest line, sideline reporter for the Chargers, host of Gary and Shannon on KFIAM 640. I think it's easy to understate how good Jim Harbaugh has been first year on the job. Certainly has an incredible resume, incredible track record. How could you sum up the job that he's done in year one with the Chargers?
It's the year Jim Harbaugh has done in year one everywhere he has gone. It took maybe more than a year at Michigan, but he got there. He is the king of the turnaround. People believe in him. They buy into what he's saying. He supports everyone. I mean, he is a boss who comes around and knows exactly what you're good at and loves you for it every single day. This team loves him. He's different. He speaks differently. People looking in from the outside go, oh, that guy's crazy. He's so weird. But you know what? Inside this facility, it goes a long way to have somebody who speaks to you like a human, does not act like he is above you, acts like he is with you. And his mentality has always been a blue-collar work ethic. Back when he was with the 49ers in 2011 is when he first brought those blue-collar shirts into that facility with the name badges, kind of like an electrician would wear, a plumber would wear, somebody who works for a living. That is the idea at every team Jim Harbaugh works for, is you put the work in, you reap the rewards. And it's a we're all in it together, no one's better than anyone else kind of vibe.
Shannon, I'm curious because the obvious thing with Harbaugh is his love for Herbert, and we've seen a lot of it on television, but he's obviously been a good influence for him. I look at a guy like Quentin Johnston and I'm like, my goodness, he was taking a rap last year for having bad hands and there were questions no matter how high he was drafted. And what a turnaround season he's had. I don't know if that's a Harbaugh influence or not, but boy, he has been noticeable this year all season long.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That proves my point that I was just talking about, how he finds what you're really great at, and he supports that every day here. Q is case in point. This was a guy who could not catch a break last year. Q cares so much. You're not going to find somebody more popular than Q or Derwin. Same kind of guy around here. Everyone loves these guys. And Q had a rough freshman season. And you know what? It takes a while to have chemistry with a gunslinger like Justin Herbert. It just takes a while. You look at some of the great wide receiver, quarterback combinations in NFL history, and that first year wasn't great. You look at Jerry Rice and all the drops he had his first year. You know, you look at some of, Johnny Unitas was an example Jim Harbaugh used with his star receiver. The freshman season is not always a storybook season. And Q's sophomore season has proven to be just that. Look no further than last week in Las Vegas when he had 186 yards, a career game. He's really finding the rhythm. And to offensive coordinator Greg Roman's point, this team has found a rhythm at the right time. It seems like they're peaking at the right time. They've scored 108 points in the past 4 weeks. This has been an offense that has kind of been like almost there all season, like, oh, we're almost there. And now they're there, and it seems like it's hitting at the right point.
Being joined on the HR&P guest line by Shannon Farron, Chargers sideline reporter. You go through a week, and I know that you do this with the job that you hold. You hear the coaching staffs for both teams give a healthy amount of respect to the other side. And, you know, the Texan side, D'Amico Ryans, their players, their assistants, they've been very respectful to the Chargers. Same thing for the Chargers side towards the Houston Texans. If you try to read between the words a little bit, where do you think that the Chargers have the most respect to? Is it the coaching staff? Is it Stroud, the offense, the defense? Where do you think that they have the Texans, they hold the Texans in the highest regard?
Man, find somebody who looks at you the way Jesse Minter looks at C.J. Stroud. I don't know if you heard his comments, our defensive coordinator this week, but he was effusive about C.J. And I think every football fan watching C.J. Stroud has just, how can you not like that guy? How can you not respect what he's doing and root for him? And so I think there's a lot of respect. Listen, at this level, just to be in the NFL, it's going to take a lot week to week. There are no bad teams. There's just, you know, maybe bad chemistry. There's no bad players. These guys are here for a reason. And when you get to the playoff level, there are no bad teams. Everyone deserves your utmost respect, and you better not count anyone out. You know, you better look at your opposing team and think the best of them. And that's what we've done all week with the Texans.
Shannon, let's take that and look at it from a different perspective. Let's take it from the perspective of knowing the Chargers like you do and watching the Texans and knowing what you're up against. Where do the Chargers have the biggest advantage against the Texans?
Our defense. This is the number one scoring defense in the league. Jesse Minter came over from Michigan. He took a team that ranked 24th last season, basically took the same personnel and made them number one. This is a defense that plays more zone than any other team in the league. We don't have the shutdown corners like you'll see in Denver, but we do have depth when it comes to the secondary. And this is a team that communicates very well back there. And I think that C.J. Stroud has this elusive quality about him. He can hang in the pocket. He can make decisions. He's a great option quarterback. He can escape the tackle. He can do everything. But this is a defense that has been known to force mistakes because the guys in the trenches are not, you know, schmucks either. You know, you're looking at Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa and guys that will be interchangeable on that line because there's been so many different personnel groups that move in and out, and you guys will see it on Saturday how quickly and how many different guys. 19 guys play regular defensive snaps every week for the Chargers. Fresh legs, fresh groups, and a lot of communication. This defense really is formidable.
It's going to be a fun one coming up Saturday. Shannon, thank you so much for taking a few minutes hanging out with us. Safe travels to Houston.
Thank you, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Shannon Farron, Chargers sideline reporter, host of Gary and Shannon on KFIAM 640. Let's look at these 14 teams that are in the postseason. 14, not 12. Who realistically has a shot to win it all? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texture, Stroud is what Minter admires most. LOL. What disrespect. They don't even watch the games. Hey, what do you expect him to say, though? I mean, he's great. And he was the DC at Michigan. Like, he has history with Stroud.
Dude, obviously,
how long was he there,
though? Close up.
Beat him. 2 years, I think.
Was he?
I believe so.
Because he's an ex. I know he had a good career in the NFL, I believe. But
how old is this guy? How long has he been around?
He's kind of like a Jim Leonard type
Jesse
guy.
Minter,
that he played.
Wikipedia.
He played in the league and then kind of went right into coaching.
He's 41.
Yeah.
How old is Jim Leonard?
About the same.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Jim Leonard was ancient. I thought he was like 70.
No, because he played Jets, Ravens. He played. Jim Leonard played a lot of football.
Oh, Minter was with Baltimore. I remember this now. Because he went from one Harbaugh to the other, correct. Which they trade a lot of.
They do.
They trade a lot of their coaching staff.
Look at Wink Martindale,
players.
Who was Harbaugh's DC and went right to Michigan.
But he also, didn't he get fired from
there.
Baltimore? No, from
Baltimore. Oh, yeah. Well,
and then, like, one Harbaugh fires you, and then the other Harbaugh hires you.
Well, wasn't Wink in with the Giants last year? Wasn't there a year in between?
Was it this year?
No, he's with Michigan.
I thought he was with the Giants
last
year.
Yeah, he's with the University of Michigan.
Right, but he said he wasn't with Harbaugh.
Yeah, he wasn't with Harbaugh.
Oh, initially, you're right. Yeah, 2 years ago, he was with the Giants.
There was a gap in between, is what I'm saying.
It's just they do that with a lot of coaches.
Because he and Dable didn't see eye to eye.
Right.
And then Dable wanted him back, and he was like, no, I'm out.
They do that with some players, too. Like, look how many Chargers are former Ravens.
I mean, yeah.
They're running backs.
Look at the running backs. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird deal.
Look at the OC.
It's a weird deal.
Greg Roman was the Lamar architect of the offense.
Like Eskimo brothers with these coaches. It's bizarre. How worried are you with this whole TikTok thing? Pop Crave tweeted a few minutes ago, TikTok announces it will shut down in the U.S. on January 19th unless the Supreme Court strikes down a delays law requiring it to be sold.
Wasn't there a mandate they had to sell to? Yeah, it's like I'd heard the sale was going to go
through.
That's
what TikTok's saying. They're saying, like, you better back down. You better strike down this whole we must sell or delay the law.
I don't think Congress is going to care about them trying to push back.
I don't know, man. I don't know. TikTok's a big deal.
It is, but not to the congressmen involved in making that happen.
How many people in Congress have it?
Something tells me that it'll be around after January 19th. I think it'll be around. I hope so. Fingers crossed. As an influencer,
they banned it already.
As a content creator, as a social media star, I don't want TikTok to die in 10 days.
I thought they banned it for government employees while on the job.
I have no idea.
It's been a bigger deal.
I hope it doesn't die. I love TikTok. Big fan of TikTok. All right, moving on. 713-780-ESPN. Realistically, who put 12 teams in the playoffs? Like acting brand new, like there aren't 14 teams.
Know where it was used.
It was me. I did it. Who realistically has a shot to win it all? The 14 teams in the NFL playoffs.
Well, I will say there's no reason to put 14 because there's not 14 teams that can win it.
Like, let's go through it. Let's go through and eliminate them.
My list is actually kind of small.
Let's start in the AFC. Okay. We'll go 1 through 7. You like 7 teams, by the way, over 6?
I do.
I'm fine with it.
It's more football.
I think that's the sweet spot. If you get to 8 and now it's half the league that gets in the playoffs, I think that's too much.
I don't like when half the league makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
I agree.
So this is the cutoff.
Like, I'm pro more football, but whenever you get to half of the league making the playoffs, that's where I draw the line.
I think it's
too many.
Too many in the NBA.
You know, when we look at it from a college perspective and they were talking about adding teams and there's a lot more teams, I think from the NFL perspective, it gets watered down after this anyway. I think this is fine.
Yeah, I'm cool with 7. I like 7 more than 6, but I don't want 8 over 7 and 7, 8, 9. Chiefs. Can the Chiefs win it all?
Absolutely.
All right, sure. We're all unanimous on the Chiefs, so we all have 1. Can the Bills win it all?
Yes, they can.
You got to walk a lot
your
back
guy.
If you want to make that argument.
No, I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to die on that hill. I'm going to die on the Buffalo Bill. No, they can't win it all. I don't believe that Josh Allen can lead a team to a Super Bowl championship. I don't believe it fundamentally.
Even though he's not playing, like the genesis of you saying that was him being turnover prone, and he's not been that this year.
He's going to make a critical error that's going to cost them a game and eliminate them from the postseason. He is not capable of winning 1, 2, 3, 4 games in a row against playoff competition. Not capable.
I think he is.
Time will tell.
Yeah, it is. Because he could also make that one big play that wins a game for them, and he can do that quite frequently.
Can the Baltimore Ravens win it all?
I think
absolutely.
They can. Yeah.
You can say the same thing about Lamar as you can Josh Allen.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can say the same exact thing.
He's got, two playoff wins in his career, Lamar?
Yeah. And his playoff numbers are far worse than Josh Allen, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Josh Allen's playoff numbers are actually pretty good. They're actually pretty good. Lamar Jackson's playoff numbers?
No, they're awful.
Lamar Jackson's playoff numbers are worse than C.J. Stroud's regular season numbers this year. It's a fact. It's a fact. Can the Texans win it all?
No.
No.
Yeah, I'm out there. What's the deepest they could go?
AFC Championship game.
I would agree.
So you think that they could beat the Chargers and then the Chiefs?
More than likely the Chiefs. Deepest.
Yeah, the deepest they could go. Their highest ceiling is AFC Championship.
I'm not
picking
that, but that's the deepest.
Right, I understand.
Okay.
And I'm being critical of your peak of them.
So your peak is one win?
I think it's divisional round, yeah. I don't think they can go. Like, it's not a guarantee that they could play. They would play Kansas City, but more than likely,
because they do
the whole reseed thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that the Texans can go into Arrowhead and beat Kansas City. I mean, could they go into Buffalo and beat Buffalo?
I don't think so. From the weather perspective, no.
I'd give them a better chance against KC than Buffalo.
I would too.
You looked at the 10-day forecast? What's it doing in Buffalo a week from Sunday?
I haven't looked at it yet, but I would imagine it's probably going to, based on the weather that most of the country is experiencing now, I would bet that it's going to be winter, very, very wintry.
Yeah, that's a good question. What is this Texans peak? I'm going divisional, you'll go championship. All right, can the Chargers win it all?
No.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Steelers?
No.
Nope.
Okay. Broncos?
No.
All right, so we're all in agreement there. So y'all have 3 teams in the AFC that could win it all. I have 2 teams in the AFC. Chiefs, y'all's are the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens. Mine and Chiefs or Ravens.
Okay.
All right. Who can win it all in the NFC? Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I love them. I think they're my favorite roster in the NFL. Love Jahmyr Gibbs. Love Sam Laporta. And I love a future first. Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
Yes. Beat that dead horse.
How confident are we in Jalen Hurts' health?
I think that it's. I don't think it was. There was no doubt in my mind he was playing this week.
Yeah, Joel and I had that conversation in break yesterday because the note on the TV was that he was practicing, but he was questionable for this week. I don't think he's going to miss, but Yeah, I mean, I would change my opinion if Hurts was out. I wouldn't say that they could obviously win without him, but
y'all talk during breaks.
I think they could beat Green Bay
briefly
without him.
Come on, Joel.
He hates Green Bay.
I know you hate the Packers.
You hate
so much.
Your team more than I think any fan hates their team.
Cool. Right. I hate certain.
What, Kenny Pickett's going to beat the Packers?
Either one. I think you just hand the ball to Saquon. You can make the plays to the receivers on the outside. I think Green Bay's got internal problems. Their defensive guys are selling out their DC, who was much better than the DC a year ago. I think there's a lot going on there.
Philly's a 4.5-point favorite. They're expecting Hurts to play. What would the spread be if Pickett played?
10. I think Green Bay's favored.
I don't.
I think
Eagles by like two and a half.
I think it would influence the line by
6 points. Would be my guess.
I would go for at least 4.5. I think it would make it a pick'em game. I don't know if they would favor Green Bay in Philly, with Kenny Pickett, but 4.5 does feel light.
The last time I looked, because people have these rankings, like what QBs mean to a line. Obviously, Mahomes and Allen and Lamar at the top, but I believe Hurts was about 5.5 or 6, which would put it at a pick'em or a small favor for Green Bay.
Okay, so we think that the Eagles could win it, reach it 2. Can Tampa Bay win it, the 3 seed?
No.
You guys hate Baker.
I don't hate him at all. I just think there's a difference between Baker having a really good year and Baker taking a team to the Super Bowl. This year ain't it.
Yeah,
and
I also think
their defense has taken a setback this year, too.
The Los Angeles Rams.
No.
Nope.
No.
Sheesh.
Probably the worst team in the playoffs.
What?
Ooh, I wouldn't go that far.
I think the Rams would beat the Broncos and the Steelers.
I think the Rams could beat the Buccaneers.
Okay, you know what? Steelers, I'll go with you. The Rams aren't the worst. I would say it's the Steelers.
I think Rams-Texans in a neutral field to pick them.
I think you're probably right. We talked about that
the
other
Texans,
day.
But...
Yeah, but you also had the Texans win 14 games this year.
11.
Can the Vikings win it all?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I'm probably out on them, too.
I'm going to fade Darnold. I don't know. He looked bad last week.
Yeah, he did. Last week, because of last week, I was going to say it's easy to change your opinion on the Vikings. Their defense has been really good all year. They got really good skill position players and a good line. It's all on Darnold. Because if Darnold just doesn't make mistakes, and I think that team's good enough to – they hung with Detroit all year until the last game. Yeah. I think they could.
That game was in Detroit, too, right?
Sure was.
Minnesota's road is tough. Like, they would have to beat L.A. in L.A., which I don't think is easy. I wouldn't shock me if the Rams beat the Vikings.
That game might be in Arizona now, but...
Minnesota's only favored by one. Like, Minnesota's favored by 1 point over the Rams. Like, the Rams' worst team in the playoffs. They're favored by one, Minnesota is over the Rams. So, like, that's pretty... Yes, Rams have home foot advantage, and if they moved the game to Arizona, I'm sure it would influence the line. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Minnesota would be favored by 3.5-4 points. But Vikings would have to win in L.A. or Arizona, which would be way better for Minnesota. Then you're more than likely, unless there's an upset, if the Commanders over the Buccaneers, Packers over the Eagles, you're more than likely having to go to Detroit again, and then you're more than likely playing Philadelphia in Philly for the final round. So you have to win at L.A., you got to win at Detroit, you have to win at Philadelphia.
Ooh, no chance.
I'm out on the Vikings.
That's a Rockets run right there. When the Rockets won it all, they had to do that.
It's when Brady won it with the Buccaneers. Didn't they win 3 straight road games to get into the Super Bowl?
They did.
But Sam Darnold ain't Tom Brady. Like, duh. Like, I'm out on the Minnesota for a lot of reasons, but their path is very difficult. Commanders.
No.
And then I'll ask you this, Brian, this question.
We know Joel's answer.
Green Bay, chances to win it all.
I actually side with Joel. They cannot win the Super Bowl.
I don't have them winning it all either. So Blakers has 3 teams in the AFC, 3 teams in the NFC. I have 2 teams in the AFC, 2 teams in the NFC, and then Brian has 3 in the AFC, 2 in the NFC. So all pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
All pretty
close. Yeah, it used to be just quarterback play, but I think that this year – you know, you just have to, you look at how many teams defensively, not Cincinnati was the worst of the spectrum in terms of how bad their defense was, but how good their offense was. You're right. I mean, I in the past, there were other teams that I would say had the best roster in football. Like Detroit has the best roster in football, and even with all the injuries, they're innovative on offense. All their skill position players are there. Their defense flies around. Aaron Glenn does one hell of a job. I think that teams with really good defenses this year really stand out. I think Philly and Detroit, I might be a stretching because of Minnesota, like you guys said with Darnold, but I think their defense has been really good all year. I think defense is big this year.
It's a factor.
But I think the Ravens used to be, and we were talking about their DCs, but their pass defense sucks. compared to what their defense used to be, a really big calling card. I don't think it's nearly what it was.
They still stop the run well, but their pass defense
sucks.
You really could say the same about Minnesota. Their run defense is great, but their pass defense has been subpar.
Peak Texans for me is them leading at halftime. Well done. If the Rams Texans on a neutral field would be a pick 'em, why aren't they Texans favored more? I don't really understand the question.
Because they're not playing the Rams.
Or on a neutral field ever.
Yeah, I
don't understand the question.
No, I don't either.
I don't get it. Philly versus Baltimore. Baltimore for the ship. I can see it. I think that's in play for sure. Mm-hmm. And then another texture. Really? Josh Allen incapable of winning four in a row versus playoff competition? How much weed do you smoke? Not enough. Has he ever done it? He's never done it. How can you tell me to call me the idiot when he's never done it?
They did go into Detroit and beat the Lions this year.
Okay.
I know it's one game that's regular season, but I don't know. I think you're going to have to change your opinion on this.
We'll see. Never done it. I'm the idiot. What?
I think to your point, Jeremy, if there's the obvious thing is if he could get a game or two at home, because especially if it's bad weather, we know how he won a playoff game in the snow all by himself almost. I think that the four road games is tough.
You're talking about for
Josh Allen.
Well, it wouldn't be on the road. They're a two seed.
Okay, so I think if they, if he gets a couple of home games,
he would.
I think he absolutely can win.
I mean, he should. He should only have to win one road game at max, right? I mean, games on a neutral site.
Yeah, unless Kansas City wins both of their games, they would host the AFC Championship game.
But yeah, they could potentially never leave Buffalo to the Super Bowl.
I don't think Josh Allen's ever going to win a Super Bowl. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Time will tell. Saints Patrick moving the game to Arizona wouldn't change the line. The Vikings will probably still have more fans in L.A. than the Rams. I appreciate the dig. I like that, Saints Patrick, but it would influence the line.
Yeah, it would definitely influence the line. Yeah, and I'm not sure about the fans.
Of course it would.
It would influence the line. Where would you rank CJ among all the quarterbacks in the playoffs? Where do you rank DeMeco amongst all the head coaches? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.